Dinola, it's great to have you on the show.
Hi.
Thank you for coming.
Of course. I mean, there's only one person I'll brave a pandemic for.
So. I know, right? Like, I'm actually quite excited because you mentioned that you haven't been out at all. Mm-mm. So this is your first time and it was with me. So I'm very grateful.
Well, I mean, and excited. I'm happy to be here. So
excited. You know what's interesting? Like, I know, like, this COVID period, like you mentioned, like, you've not been coming out and stuff. And I kind of want to talk about, like, presence, right? Because I noticed, like, do you feel like your quotes have become a bit deeper online? You're discovering a lot more about yourself?
Yeah, I think it's been like that even before COVID. Because I started being a bit more mindful since 2018. But then, yeah, definitely spending more time with myself and, you know, having, like, very private meltdowns during the pandemic really does make you a bit more introspective. So, yeah, I have been a bit more introspective.
I think you've been introspective and you've also shared more than you normally would, because it was almost like you had that space that was, you've considered, like, you know, your private personal space. And then, and I think it's beautiful to kind of share because, you know, people can see a different side of you beyond the Dinola energy guy that we see around, right?
I mean, I think for the longest time, I wanted to keep that part private for myself just to really make sure that I was doing it for the right reasons and being mindful for the right reasons, not just for a show. I don't like being performative in any way. So then it just became very apparent to me that I did need to share just because, like, you know, there's a lot of people. I'm like, this is who I am now.
Yeah.
You know, I was more comfortable with expressing my thoughts and my presence and my mindfulness recently as opposed to before. So.
Right. Yeah. What have you learned about yourself in this period?
I'm actually pretty awesome. Like, I'm a pretty decent person. Like, when we were out in the world before everything came crashing down, you just have so much access to other people's opinions of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might rub somebody out the wrong way, you might play a villain in somebody else's story. So I started, like, doubting, like, I'm like, maybe I'm a bit of an a-hole. Can I say that? I'm probably not that as nice as I think. Like, so you start thinking, I'm, you know, listen to your own worst reviews. But then
so you're, like, myself, reflecting.
I'm actually not, I'm not awful at all. My intentions are mostly 90% pure. The other 10% is kind of like, you know, whatever.
There's, like, petty Dinola.
Oh, I can be petty.
We'll talk about petty Dinola later on. But let's talk a bit about mindfulness, because you mentioned mindfulness, and this conversation is kind of going, you know, in that direction. What does mindfulness actually mean to you personally?
To me personally, mindfulness is being self-aware enough to take stock and also self-correct and see your blind spots and also see the duality in all things and understand that the duality is not real. So everyone is right based on their own perspective and really just allowing and holding space for the world to be as it is and to be in a state of flow. That's what it is.
That's a beautiful description. When did you start practicing? When did you feel like you started practicing?
It was February 2018. Okay. Like, that's when I was shaken awake. And then since then, it's been a daily practice. Like, every time I feel like I'm out of alignment with myself, I just go back in and I, like, observe. I feel tension in my body. I can actually physically feel energy in my body now, and I try and move it around and understand where it's coming from. So, yeah. So, more so over the past year.
Yeah.
The past, like, actual 12 months, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely been more mindful and more aware.
So, when you say February 2018, you don't necessarily need to tell me what happened. But, you know, how were you feeling at that point? Like, what was that transition?
Like? It wasn't even, like, anything dramatic. I wish it was, like, a dramatic.
Like, you just showed up.
I was held at gunpoint and then my life flashed before my eyes. No, it wasn't that. Like,
it was a conscious decision, like you just said.
I was literally, when I said I was shaking awake, I remember it was, like, I woke up at 5 in the morning. I was, you know, staying at a friend's in London and it was actually very picturesque. I mean, as with most things in my life, it's extremely dramatic for no reason. Like, my life literally is like a movie sometimes. I'm not even lying. It's like a rom-com / like slasher, like thriller biopic. Right. It's really weird. I woke up at 5 in the morning and it was during the Beast from the East snowstorm in London. And it was snowing outside and I was running a temperature. Like, I was extremely hot. The flat I was in was, like, very cold. But then I was just like, I didn't feel sick, but I was, like, burning up. And then the minute I woke up, I picked up my phone and the first thing that came up was, like, just learning about the energy body and so and stuff like that. And then I started opening my mind to, like, different things I had never thought about before. and my world just became bigger. And when it became bigger, I became aware of more of my own shadow, and then I started bringing that to the surface and started like dissecting that. And around the same time, a huge transformational shift occurred with even just like a lot of events in my life, like career-wise, in my personal life as well, even with friends, like a lot of, there was a mass exodus of people, and I thought that I was losing my mind and I was like the worst person, but then I understand now that it was a purging process because I was elevating and I was changing on a very cellular, visceral level too. So yeah, it was very interesting.
And I mean, that's the beauty of mindfulness. Like, I feel like a lot of times when you talk about mindfulness or, you know, being Zen and any of those things, like people just picture you on a meditation mat somewhere, sitting down, and it's just like, it's really just unlearning a lot of the things that we've learned over time. Because if you really think about it, like when we were kids, we sort of practiced mindfulness. Like we were present. You were listening. Yes, you were more fearless. You were more in tune with your, you know, with your body, with your mind, and all those things. And it's like you're adult.
And then
and everything is coming for your attention. There's so much in the media. There's so many conversations happening. And then, you know, you almost now become a zombie, and it's like you have to go back to, again.
We're learning all the things that we learned. Yeah. To, I would say, know who you are outside the trauma of growing up. Because growing up is traumatic.
Right.
But yeah, people think that, you know, being mindful is like being all Zen and like, oh, namaste. No, it actually is, honestly, you like 9 times out of 10, it feels like you're losing your mind.
Right.
And then the other like 1 out of 10 times is kind of like you get moments of clarity that makes it worth it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's hard. Like there's so many things that even small conversations about it, seemingly insignificant things as a child affect the way that you see the world in the future. And I've done a lot of inner child work and memory work and just going back and reparenting myself and being like, hey, you know, you see this world this way based on this memory.
Yeah.
And I go back and I'm like, I tell my younger self that, like, you're not awful. Like, you just made a mistake.
Yeah.
And, you know,
because
way of that, like, don't do that. That's bad. Right. Yeah. And you're like, oh my gosh, maybe I'm terrible.
I love that you're sharing this. I had a conversation yesterday around this, right? Around how, you know, the things that happen in our childhood just kind of, you know, seep into our subconscious. And then as an adult, like, you go through so much. And then if you go through, like, things like psychotherapy, like, you start to figure out, oh, wow, like, this happened.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not even that people said bad things to us or said negative things to you. It's about your interpretation of what was said.
100%.
So sometimes it's like you can say the same thing to 3 kids,
right?
And one internalizes a different way or processes a different way.
Exactly.
You know, so it changes over time.
Yeah.
I also know like it's difficult to practice mindfulness in the environment that we live in because there's also that there's like mindfulness, you know, living in a different country, and it's like mindfulness being
living
in a space where not everyone or let me just say, like, there's a very large population of people who are not very conscious, right?
Yeah.
And so it makes you feel crazier because you feel like, oh, they're, you know, you're different, and then how do you integrate with everyone else? Because you also don't want to come across that as that guy who thinks like he's better than everyone.
and even if you don't see yourself as that,
it can be perceived.
They don't see things from your perspective. They think you're being self-righteous. I've been called self-righteous before. You know, my brother's called me self-righteous before.
Right.
Not my older brother. He's like, you think you're better than me?
Right.
I'm not self-righteous. You,
like, it's not personal. You know? It's just,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it's, you're right. You do feel isolated and crazy, and you're like, and I think as a highly sensitive person, you know, I used to think that my sensitivity was like a sign of weakness. I used to like be like, oh, you know, everything just gets to you. Like, what's your own stuff? Like, you can't take a joke. I'm like, no, I can take a joke. And I'm actually quite like easygoing. What I don't tolerate is when people try and like project their own insecurities onto me. Mm. And, you know, Nigerians don't necessarily have a lot of tact. Mm. So they say the first thing that comes to their mind, and
the
like,
delivery, yeah.
The delivery is just like not the best. So I've had to learn to like kind of like just look at it for what it is and not take things personally as well. So
talking about that, right? Like, how do you think that people can be kinder in how they approach criticism? Because I know, like, with what you're speaking about, like, you're in the limelight, right? People will always drop comments and say stuff on social media and all that stuff, and it can be frustrating, right? But then how do you even think like people can be kinder delivering
a lot of things,
like the things they want to say?
The thing is, it wasn't until this lockdown that I've never really thought of myself as a public figure.
Right.
Like, it's a weird thing because you're like, I'm just
I'm just
doing, and I'm doing my own thing, and I'm trying to make it in life. It wasn't until this period that I realized that, yeah, I'm actually, like, I am a public figure, and I should just accept that and then, you know, work with it and not run away from it. Because the more I try to run away from it, the more, like, things will happen. I had, like, two Twitter things this lockdown that were just, like, completely, like, insanely unnecessary and, like, completely blown out of proportion. And I was like, you know what? When, after reading yet another day when I was trending on Twitter for the wrong reasons, I was like,
I think I remember one of them, but
one of them I would say was warranted. That's when, you know, I was, it wasn't really warranted, to be honest, but, like, that's when I they unearthed, like, tweets I made, like, many years ago about patching me. Even though I've been a body positive person for, you know, the better part of, like, 7-8 years. That was fine. I owned up to it. I was like, yeah, I said this back then, and 100%, like, it's BS. Like, I shouldn't have said that, and it's, it's an awful thing. But then the other one, completely unrelated, I was just laughing under someone's tweets. I was laughing at the person, not what they said before.
Right. And it became a whole conversation.
Oh my God. And so I started thinking, I was like, you know what, people are so mean. And I realized, you know, I've done it too. You know, I've done it to public figures. Like, you would drag Kim Kardashian, you would drag this person, you would drag you just don't care, Mackie, I'm going to my friend, I'll never drag her. But you drag all these different people, and you don't care if they see it. And so I think a level of empathy has to be present, and you have to understand that, like, these people are human beings too. And so when I was like, you know, all these things that are saying to me right now, if someone said these things to you, you would hate it. You know, and so instead of being like, woe is me or whatever, I'm like, I wish you will all understand some empathy. And I've told my followers, I'm like, listen, if you follow me and you support me, you just have to be a kind person. I've said this on my live a couple of times. I'm like, please spread kindness, be a gentle person, like, my space is a space of positivity.
Right.
Like, just don't be a dick. I'm sorry. Like,
right. You know, like, so one of the things, one of the people that I talk to a lot is, like, teenagers, right? Mm-hmm. So really young teenagers. I'm sure some of them are going to be watching this show, right? Yeah, we'll beep. But
some
of them are going to be watching this show. And one of the things I realize is that, you know, whenever we talk about, like, bullying culture, right? We usually present to the victims of bullying, or victims, quote unquote, of bullying, you know, don't do this to avoid the bully, right? This is, I mean, and if you go online and you kind of Google stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It's always, if you Google anything that has to do with, like, bullying, right? It's always how to protect yourself from being bullied, right? And that's kind of how the conversation goes. And I'm like, who's talking to the bullies? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why don't we create content that is that? So I actually did a video on you know, how to not be a bully, right? How to stop being a bully. And I kind of wanted to talk about this because I know, like, you mentioned in one of your interviews, like,
having gone through that as a kid,
which a lot of us go through and you don't realize, you know, what it does. But I think I wanted you to kind of just, you know, give an idea, if you could talk a bit about, like, why you think that people bully.
Yeah. I think I've tweeted about this in not so many different ways. I think generally when people are presented with perspectives or a way of life that's different from theirs, they tend not to nurture it. They attack it because it threatens their sense of self. So that's definitely where it comes from. I mean, in my case, like, there's no reason why I should have been 8 years old, 7 years old, going through what I went through in primary school. I mean, there was literally a rumor at one point that I had AIDS. Because I was very skinny. What? Like, no.
Makes no sense. Yeah.
And so kids didn't want to play with me and stuff like that. And I was definitely more effeminate. So, like, there was a time when one of my classmates, you know, spread a rumor that, you know, I was taking ballet lessons secretly and I had AIDS and all this. And I was like, I was eight, you know.
And not everyone could take, like, that mental pressure that comes
from
that.
But then I started dealing with anxiety and depression from a very young age. But then I realized as I got older that, like, you know, all the people that bullied me, they've all had underlying, like, pain as well. And I've also, even when I made those tweets I made 9 years ago, I was in a very dark place too. Hurt people. They want to project their pain onto another person. And, you know, if they realize that what they're really doing is just, like, unresolved trauma within themselves, then they can bring it up for review and then they can let it go. But not a lot of people are going to be that insightful. It definitely comes from a place of hurt, and it also comes from a place of wanting to feel superior. So instead of taking the high road and being like, okay, I can see in this face, you go lower and try to push other people down, so they're below you. It's really, really weird. It's the psychology behind it is a bit strange, but hurt people hurt people, and it's they don't nurture the attack, and it is what it is. But
Because a lot comes from a place of insecurity. It's like you not dealing with your insecurities and your challenges, and it's kind of the same. Even beyond bullying, it applies. The same for people who sometimes are extremely authoritative in like group settings and stuff. It's like they want to always be the ones who are in the front and you know who are, and it's a thin line because it's sometimes that comes from people who have been insecure all their lives
and they want their voices to be heard.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's, I mean, that's textbook exactly what it is.
right. I love that.
You can have it.
Your honesty on this show is beautiful.
Well, thank you.
And let's talk a bit about your self-confidence, because obviously, like, you're in a completely different space now. Like, you've grown, right? And you're still growing. Exactly. Yeah, so you've grown, and then, but still, we have to give, like, lots of credit for that growth, right? Yeah. So, yes, you're still growing. We all are. We're going to be growing for the rest of our lives, right? Hopefully. And evolving.
Yeah.
But so much has happened within the past decade plus of your life, right, to get you to this point where you exude that self-confidence and stuff, and like you've built it, you've been building
it. You think I'm self-confident?
I think you are. I think you are. I know that there's... You don't think you are? I think you are. I think you are. I think that if anything, you're confident in your abilities as a person, and you're confident in who you are. And this is from conversations that me and you have had, like, obviously deeply, right? It's there. But I think maybe there's a part of you that sometimes, you feel like there's a part of you that just sometimes doubts that you have done that growth work?
1,000%.
Yeah?
Like, 100,000%. Like, I think we never really see ourselves the way other people see us. And I will say this, I'm very thankful for, you know, the synchronicity in my life. Like, a lot of times when I'm feeling like, you know, I'm like, I haven't done anything with myself, like, I'm failing, I'm this, I'm not this, I'm not that, I always get subtle reminders, like, people like you, or I get, like, a random message from, or a phone call, or, like, a message from, like, a fan being like, you're inspiring me. I'm like, by doing what?
Right.
Like, I'm not doing anything. Self-confidence is a journey. I think that when you're achieving anything, no matter who you are, you're always going to feel imposter syndrome. Like, oh, I'm not really all that, like, what am I doing? But I have surmounted a lot of different peaks and valleys and things over the course of 10 years. And so when people always say, "Oh my God, how are you so, like, you know, chilling?" I'm like, "My dear, it's a trauma," because it is a trauma. I've been knocked down a lot of times. I don't really show people, you know, that side, because I mean, who really shows when they're down and out? They don't really show that because they don't have the energy to post that. Oh my God, guys, I'm struggling, you know. But I have struggled, and you've known about some of my struggles as well. When you bounce back every time, there's a bit of reassurance that, like, listen, you know, my track record of getting through my terrible days is 100%. So that gives you the confidence to keep going. And I know that no matter what happens, like, I'm so resilient. Like,
so the confidence comes from knowing that you'll bounce back.
No matter how hard it is. Right. Like, I would look forward now. I don't look forward to getting hurt. But, like, when I get hurt, I'm like, ooh, the comeback is going to be insane. Like, I was, like, in the middle of, like, being like, oh, my God, everything's over. I'm like, oh, but the comeback, though, is going to be popping.
That's an interesting way to look at challenges.
Because every single time I've been through a serious meltdown, what comes after it is just a newer, improved, more fearless version of me.
Yeah.
And I'm integrating so many different parts of my self right now, and I'm understanding that, you know, there's so many different ways to be a human being, especially be a man, and I'm just trying to, like, be comfortable in that, you know. And there's a lot of things I've done this year that I've never done because I was too shy, or I didn't see myself as a, you know, sexy person, or a confident person. But I'm like, screw it, man. I'm gonna, you know, do dance sexily on the Instagram.
Right. And you did, and you give us
and I gave you guys the wicked sexy video. I was like doing the things. Like, I would have never done that, like, last year. I would have been like, no, this is dumb. Like, this is, like, who do I think I am?
Right.
Yeah.
So we talked about, like, growth, right? We've talked about, you know, your journey and stuff. But one of the things I wanted to also kind of talk about is manifestation, right? And because I noticed this throughout the period that I managed you and I worked with you, was whenever you would say, like, you wanted something, it would just, like, show up. Like, you would speak, you'd be like, Adora, I want to get an acting role. And it's like, yes. And it's like 2 weeks later, you have an acting role. And then you're like, oh, you know, I'd really love to work with this brand. And it's like, the next week the brand will reach out and be like,
I never saw it like that.
So even for like, I remember one particular brand, like you were like, oh, you know, it'd be nice to do some stuff with them. And then it's like, they called you to come and do work. And you were like, oh, hey, Edward, they hit me up. And I was like, what? You know, so, and I noticed that like that every time you speak stuff, like it just, you speak it, you're like, I want to do this. I want to, you know, I'm thinking about this. And even the bigger dreams that you've talked about, because we've talked about so much. We talked about Ryan Seacrest. Mm-hmm. We talked about you dropping the New York, the New Year's Eve ball, right, in Times Square and all that stuff. And it's like, when I think about you, I don't doubt any of those things.
I do.
I don't, because I've seen you say stuff and it's happened. It happened. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's so wild that you're saying that, because I'm actually having a crisis with manifestation right now. But over time, you know, being a creative in Nigeria is one of the most humbling things ever. Because there's some days where you're going to be up, you're making money and everything. There's some days when you're going to be down. Mm. And it's extremely hard being a public figure and being broke. Mm. Like, it sucks. Right. Like, because people think you are, like, this larger-than-life person. Right. You're like, oh, bitch, no. Like, I ain't got the coins. Right. I will say this. My approach to life and success is very different from a lot of people that I know around me. I'm surrounded by, I grew up around a lot of success. And I also grew up around a lot of people. My friends happened to sacrifice a lot to give us a good life, too. So I had, like, you know, my rich friends. And, you know, my family is, we're comfortable, we're good. But I know what my parents went through to put us through the best schools and all that. So I understand sacrifice and struggle to a certain degree. Obviously, like, I've had a very privileged life. And I'm not going to, like, sit here and tell you that I haven't, because I definitely have. But I've also been on my own as a young adult. I've been in places, in positions where, like, I'm like, when I say broke, right. I am broke.
Right.
Like, there's like literally less than $500 in my accounts for like a month. Not now, but like before.
Yeah.
But I never wanted my self-worth to be reflected in oscillating numbers in a bank account. So I knew that. So I always do this exercise. Okay, imagine you have everything in the world, like materially, that you want. Are you still happy?
Mm.
And the answer so far has been no. So that's how I know that there's still more integration to be done and more alignment. When it comes to manifesting things, it's kind of like, the way I see things, I'm always like, why not me? Like, why can't I have that? Like, this person has that. Like, in my world now, I'm learning that I do live in an abundant, infinite universe. And I can't think in terms of like finite numbers, like, oh, whatever is my bank account,
right,
or how many thousand followers I have or not. Like, every single thing is available to me simply because I exist. That's just the way I see it. And how I'm gonna get it, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, as long as I want something, I make these like extremely lofty goals. So even if I fall short, it's still kind of like a sweet spot. I'm like, okay, cool. I don't have $1 billion, but I have like 2 million.
Right.
That's like 2 million more than I had 2 days ago. And you told me something very important about that too. Whenever an opportunity comes and you don't get it, just look at it this way. When you woke up that morning, you didn't get that phone call. Like, you could have easily gone through that day without receiving that phone call. So even if you don't get it, it's just not meant for you.
Right.
You told me that. I think that was like last year, March.
I don't remember, but...
Yeah, it was last year, March. I was talking about some deal, which I ended up getting. And I even got,
got double of what I thought I was going to get.
And I was like, okay, cool. Well, I guess whatever. Manifestation shouldn't only be about, it's not about an end goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's about inviting the feeling that you think that end goal is going to give you into the present.
Yeah, because, you know, I feel like whenever people think about manifestation, they're always so focused on like the particular thing that they're trying to manifest.
And like that way.
And way, yes. And then sometimes it just comes out completely differently. Mm-hmm. So it's like you dreamt and visioned this thing, but it came out in the way that is best for you.
Right.
And the way that is best for you is not always the way that you envision it.
100%.
Right.
Like, so sometimes, you know, you think that if you get a particular thing, it's going to complete you. And I think that's where it comes from. When you think into the future, you get a glimpse of a feeling that I think you're going to have.
Mm.
But what I'm saying is that you can have that feeling right now if you wanted to. I mean, I always joke with my mom, like, one of her prayers that she'll pray for us is, you'll stand before kings. And then I'm like, Mom, I don't want to stand before kings. I want to be a king.
Right.
You know? But you know, she's prayed that a lot of the time. And then I met Prince Charles, like, randomly in 2018. I was like, well, your parents were answered. I'm standing before kings now. So, like, have you just, like,
the literal standing before kings.
Literal standing before kings. So,
I think I found that, you know, some of the things that I've had in my head about what I thought would complete me or make me happy, I've tried to find those moments where I feel that way, even in my mundane everyday life. And when I'm more thankful about the things I have in front of me, then things just come to me, like, you know, naturally. So it's a very interesting thing. Manifestation, people liken it to material things a lot of the time. But when you're trying to manifest things, is to become in more alignment with yourself.
Yeah.
So that's really all it is.
Yeah, I had a newsletter that I sent out a couple of weeks ago, and it was called, it was something around, you know, how progression sometimes looks like regression, right? So, like, you're actually progressing, right? And you're becoming a better version of yourself. You're actually, like, improving in different areas of your life. But then it feels like regression because maybe, like, things are, like, smaller. So in my case, for instance, like, you know, we used to have bigger office, bigger this, many staff, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you calm down on all of that stuff, right? And I'm in a better place, right? I'm better place mentally, emotionally, you know, physically, as you can see. Yes. And all of that stuff.
So
You know, but to the outside world, right, it can look like regression because people judge you based off of what they've known of
and
you.
Their own metrics
and it's,
as
yes,
well.
And it's like, no, it's not regression. Like, it's actually progression.
Like, my brothers and I couldn't be any more different. Like, my younger brother, he's so focused and driven to, like, make a lot of money and become rich and everything. And, like, I love that for him because, like, he gets him out of bed. He's very, very disciplined and stuff like that. But I'm trying to explain to him, I'm like, different things drive different people. Like, having $1 billion in my accounts is not my goal anymore.
Right.
It would be nice. Like, of course, you don't have to worry about money at all.
It's a great byproduct.
It's a great byproduct, but, like, that's not what gets me out of it. Like, what I value is my interpersonal relationships, being in alignment with myself, being complete on my own without, you know, needing anybody or anything to complete me, just stuff like that. And he doesn't understand that. So he always thinks as if I'm judging him for, like, being that way. And I'm like, no.
But that's what you want.
You be you, and I love that for you, but, like, it's just not what I want. Like, I'm not going to sit up all night thinking about how to, I'm not going to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or stay up all night trying to buy cryptocurrency. Like, it's just not my vibe. Like, you know, and regardless, the way my life has shown me, I am always taken care of. Like, I've never been, like, even this time when I was broke or whatever, like, I could be broke for, like, a month, and then in 2 months I'll be earning, like, what, 10 million naira, like, it just happens, you know? And, like, okay, thank God. Like, so, I'm like, that's fantastic. Thanks, universe, for looking out for the kid.
Right.
It's not what drives me and gets me out of bed. And I'm a very passionate person. It feels as if I don't have direction most of the time because I'm not passionate about a lot currently. But once I'm passionate about something, I will do everything in my power to bring that thing to life and to do what it is. And to do what it is that I have to do. So, yeah, I guess manifestation mixed with passion and understanding what your chest manifests bring about, you know, great results. So,
yeah. We've talked a bit about manifestation, and now I want to talk about your gifts, right? So the gifts, the talent that you have. Where I really want to go with this part of the conversation is to kind of understand, you know, when you're a talented person, you have gifts and all of that. People forget that, like, there's a skill, right? Like, there's actual skill that you've had to learn over time that has brought you to where you are.
Right.
So I kind of want you to talk about that a bit. Like, has it for you, has it always been about your talent and gifts, or has it been more skill than talent and gifts?
I honestly don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah.
I was going to try and, like, pull out some BS answer, but I have no idea how to answer that. I don't, like, I always say all the time, like, it's a bit wild to me that I'm in the career that I'm in right now, or that my life is the way it is right now, because, like, I honestly don't know what I'm doing. I kind of feel like I'm winging things, but it has become apparent that, like, I've done things that have felt natural to me. So, like, whatever talent it is that you might think I have is really just me doing me. Physically, when it comes to, like, fashion or whatever, I'm not a fashion designer or a model or a stylist. Like, I'm just somebody who enjoys putting clothes together and express myself through that. I've always been a bit melodramatic and theatrical, and, you know, I've always, like, heavily been invested in pop culture and, like, watching films and stuff like that. So that informed, like, my acting capability, which I've had to hone over time. I've always, like, sang at home in the staircase, like, horribly so. But at least I can hold a tone. I ended up doing drama and musical. Like, I've just kind of always done things that I do normally in the open. And I've tried to make sure that it's presented in the best possible way. So that's actually the actual gift.
The actual gift is your ability to try things and to put them out. Yes.
Yeah, and it's not,
and that's a gift.
And it's not because I want people to be like, oh my god, imagine that. It's because it's just something that feels right. Like,
right. And you want to express it, right? Because you feel like it's inside of you. Yeah.
But then it now becomes apparent to me, and I'm having a hard time with this right now, that the minute it's out there, it's no longer for me. It doesn't belong to me anymore. And there's a bit of sadness that comes with that. Because people can then take that and make their own inferences based on what they see, you know, based on the intention behind it. So it is what it is.
And with that progression, like when people contact you, and do you find people like contacting you and asking you to do things that you're not necessarily like interested in? Because they're like, oh, you know, Dylan, but you should also try singing, you should also try this.
Or how, be a designer. I'm like,
right, how'd you deal with that?
I don't want to be a designer. Like, I don't want to design clothes. Right. My friends that are designers are stressed out all the time. Like, dealing with tailors in Nigeria, dealing with fabrics and things, like, who wants that? I don't want that. Mm. They can do it. That's fantastic. I find that, like, I've had to fight with, I know, even from the start of my career, when I started as a style blogger, that I wasn't pigeonholed. So they'll try to say, oh, the style is, you know, okay, I'm like, no, no, I'm a style enthusiast. I made sure I corrected them every single time, because I didn't want Nigerians to pigeonhole me into something that I was carving out my own niche. And when you are carving out your own niche, either consciously or subconsciously, you have to make sure that you clearly states that I'm not into this. Mm. I enjoy this, but like, this is not what my main goal is. I don't know what it is yet, but this is not what it is. So yeah, it's really just over time being like, I'm not doing this. Like, even right now, like when people are trying to come to be like, oh, what's the gift style thing? I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't want to do that anymore, you know. Like, I love fashion. I love wearing clothes for myself.
Right.
I'm not trying to tell the rest of the world how to dress. Now, if I feel like it, and I feel like being like, oh, this and this and this and this, on a good day, then yeah, I'll do it. But most of the time, I don't feel like that anymore.
Let's talk about, like, your curation, right? Yeah. Like, with your social media and all of that stuff. Like, there's a particular aesthetic, you know? Like, I feel like looking at your stuff is just, like, editorial.
Thank you.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like, you go to Dylan's page, it's just, like, editorial, you know? And I mean, it's beautiful, right? Thank to see you. All this. Because I feel like that in itself is, like, a talent and a skill.
It's content creation.
Yeah, it's content creation, because it's not just you just putting out images. Like, you sit down, you create, you edit, you decide what it is that you even vision out and stuff like that. So, like, how, I mean, that wasn't always how your social media was presented. So, like, how did you kind of transition through that?
I started playing around with editing apps. I found it meditative. I just kind of thought, how about if my pictures show the mood and the tone of what I see the world as? And I grew up, you know, reading a lot of fashion magazines like The Vogue, the GQ, the editorials on models and this. I'm like, why can't I be putting out pictures like this? Like, yeah, like, I don't have to go to the studio to, like, you know, pose and some avant-garde thing to, like, make myself feel special. So I was like, yeah, all my pictures are going to be, like, how it's going to look and feel from now on. And that's just because that's just what I want. Like, so from my Tumblr days in 2010 to now, it's just been me learning to communicate the way I see the world aesthetically, even down to the tone of my pictures. Like, I'm talking about color tone, you know. I just wanted to be as authentic as possible and be like, and have everything look uniform and have some uniformity. So if you see a picture, you know that Dinola took that picture. You know, because I edit all my pictures myself.
Yeah, because I know you do.
Even the professional ones that people take, I'm like, I always ask for something, I'm like, hey, listen, I love that this is your edit, but like, can I just do my edit? And when I can do it, I do. And when I don't, I don't.
Yeah, you know? So you have like the Dinola version of everything.
And sometimes it's changing. Like right now, I've been in a very brown, like, you know, celebrating black skin phase, which I love. But it's going to change. It's going to change something else. It wants to do something more minimalistic and, you know, clean. And you know.
Does your mood sometimes, like, you know, determine what you show?
It does. And also, like, where I'm at in terms of, like, my own expression. Like, you know, we're constantly consuming information and you're looking at different ways that things are done. And you're like, oh, I can do it this way. I can try this. I can try this. And I can do this. I can do that. So you evolve with it as well. Like, right now, I'm actually getting over, like, my current preserve, which I've been using most of this lockdown. I'm going to, like, use something else. I'll create my own.
Right.
Like, for me. do it for me.
So what mood were you in when you created Drump? Like, what were you thinking? Like, tell me about how that entire process happened.
Did you just
wake up and say, I'm just going to do it?
That's literally what
happened. Oh, wow. Okay.
That's literally what happened. I remember, I woke up in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. and I mean, during my period, the song I've been singing for mm-hmm. 10 years. Like, I sing it in the stairwell, in the house, right. in the shower, because I heard it first from Glee, mm-hmm. but then it's a cover of Barbra Streisand's mm-hmm. song from Funny Girl. Mm-hmm. But I remember watching the Glee performance and how, you know, they just had this tumultuous experience getting to regionals, and they started singing the song, and then Michelle was belting it out. So I was like, oh, this is awesome. I feel like this most of the time, like the underdog, you know. Mm-hmm. And last year was a year where there was a mass exodus of a lot of people in my life. You know, I'm just, without going into too much detail, and it's my witchcraft, sorry, I'm hungry. without going into too much detail, I lost a lot of friends, or I had to reestablish a lot of friendship boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I felt completely misunderstood, and I felt villainized and all the different things. And I had to remind myself, and I think that's where it comes from now, looking back, that I'm like, I'm not a terrible person. Mm-hmm. Y'all tripping.
Right.
Like, you know, and I'm just going to do me, and this, and the song just like playing. Every time I'll have those thoughts, mm. that song was always playing in the background of my head. So one day I literally woke up at 2 in the morning, and I was like, I'm going to do a video to during on my parade. That's literally what it was. Like, message my best friend Sonia and Emmanuel. It's like, hey guys, I want to do a video to this song. I know how I'm going to do it, but make sure I get it done. Right. And Emmanuel pushed me and pushed me and pushed me. Called in a lot of favors. I've masked, thankfully, a lot of good people over the years. A lot of people just came through for me and did it all for free.
Yeah.
And even my first time producing, directing, choreographing, acting, and anything of that, singing in that nature. And I did it. And I was like, this is dope.
And the reception was great.
It was really
great. I feel like you broke the internet, because I woke up the next day
to release the video. I didn't want to be in Nigeria.
Yeah, okay, yes, you weren't in Nigeria.
I was in Nigeria. I think I spoke to you the day. My friend came day, he was in Lagos, and I was like, oh, I'm dropping this video. Right. I just want to be here. I'm so stressed. He's like, just come to Senegal. I'm like, I'm not just going to go to Senegal. Right. Like, I have to. And he's like, oh, it's fine. You're going to Senegal. So I end up going to Black Rock in Senegal, and I release the video while I'm there, and I'm like, this is awesome. I posted it, I dropped my phone, and it ran away for the whole day. I spoke to you.
And the whole day, I mean, it was just buzzing. People were sending it to me, like, oh my God, have you seen this video? It's such a beautiful video.
Thank you.
Your expression in it was just it was raw, but it was professional role.
I still can't believe I did that. I really can't. I mean, there's part of the video that had makeup on it. I was afraid that my dad was going to see that and be like, oh. But then he messaged me and be like, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I've always said, I don't need anyone's validation, but once you get it, you're like, oh.
I would have been one of the people who would have said, I think I might have said, Genla, you need to sing.
Actually, you did say that a couple of times.
I think I might have, but no, really, because even just listening to your voice, I was like, oh, wow, where did that come from? You know, it was beautiful.
I'm going to release a song.
You should.
Just one song, just for bands. I'm just going to do it just
because. You know what's interesting? Most people who have said that, when they actually went ahead to release a song, it became a hit, and then they became a musician. I've heard so many stories like that.
Really?
Where it's the person literally just goes into the studio. Maybe they're there with someone else. So you hear the stories where it's they tell their story, and they're like, oh, you know, I went to the studio with someone else, and then the producer was like, let's sample your voice, and then I get on the mic, and the producer is like, oh my God, that's the voice I've been
looking for. I don't know what's going to happen.
You manifest stuff, so.
Why not? You know what? Sure, let's just say right here. Maybe I'm going to release a song.
Yeah, since you're the try again guy.
I'll just do it. Sure, why not? So I'll just drop a hot track. Some sick beats.
And I'll feature on one of your tracks.
Done.
Because there's going to be more than one.
I mean, sure. At this point.
Remember what you said at the beginning? You were like, oh, you know, you're going to start telling me stuff. Because when you tell me where it happened, so this is going to happen.
I mean, there's a lot of cool things that are happening even now. I'm getting more acting gigs. Okay. I have a movie coming out with Nia Kimalayo and AK Mason and Abosi. It's the DOD film.
Yeah.
I'm also currently in personal training.
Yeah, let's talk about that. No, we won't talk about the movie, but I just want to talk about your preparation. You know, the fact that you know, people don't often know that, like, you, as an actor, you have to actually prepare for a role. Like, mm-hmm. it's not just a gift.
I mean, a lot of the other roles I've done, I don't really, like, have to prepare for it. But this one, I'm doing, like, I've done combat training. I've done, like, I've been working out with a personal trainer for about 6 weeks now.
Yeah.
And it's intense. Like, it's intense. Mm-hmm. And I'm also having to do it because I want to grow as an actor. You know, people can say that, oh, I was just handed my first casting role. I've earned every single role I've done, and I just want to keep getting better. Because honestly, like, I don't think locally anymore. I've always thought global. I mean, that's always, because the world is so small now, because everything is digitized, and I'm like, if I'm going to be doing this, I'm going to do the best to do it. I don't care how long it takes me. So I've been
Weren't you in, like, a music video recently?
I was for a Major Lazer.
Yes.
Yes. They reached out, the people reached out, and then they're like, yeah, you know, they like your look, they like your pace, they want to put you in. And I'm like, sure, send me the choreo, I'm going to do it. And then I donated, like, $100 to one of the charities. It was nice.
Right.
I was like, guys, I also said I had said before that I wanted to be in a music video, and I did.
I feel like when it comes to a conversation around, you know, mindfulness and manifestation, like, you're such a great candidate for that. And I feel like you don't know it. You don't
honestly
realize it.
It's
real.
I just realized it. So I'm like, dang.
It's real.
Well, thanks, universe.
Because, like, these things happen, and then, like, you put them out, but I feel like you get over it so fast. You know, like, you're kind of like, hey guys, I appeared here. Hey guys, I was in this. And then it's
and you go on to the next thing. And you know, taking stock is so important. I have a gratitude journal.
Yeah.
I have a gratitude journal where I write some of the things I'm thankful for, just to remind myself, because, like, it's so easy to get lost in, like, achieving the next goal and the next thing that it don't really take time to be like, oh, but where I am right now, like, this is what I prayed for.
Yeah.
And I've done that a couple of times, and it honestly feels so freeing.
Yeah.
Just be grateful, and then you can work on your goals and achieve them. But I just don't want to be that person that is just like toiling and working and stressed out all the time, trying to get a quick buck. And next, you know, my entire life has passed me by, and I'm just living in a world of regret. I don't want that for myself. So.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No, stay off.
can you just share? We're gonna wrap up, but I want you to share, like, a mantra that you live by.
I have a couple.
Okay, tell me.
Well, my favorite one that is very easy for me to, like, recite. And especially when, but I do get panic attacks once in a while, is Ananda Maya Moksha. I think that's in Sanskrit. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But Ananda means bliss. Maya is illusion or anything that makes you separate from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And Moksha is liberation. So when you breathe in for 4 seconds, a deep breath, inhale of bliss, and then you're aware of the things in your body or in your auric field that isn't serving you. That's the Maya, the illusion, the things that makes you feel or tricks you into believing that you're not whole. And then when you breathe out in liberation, you free yourself from that illusion, and you become realigned. So, and then
I like
Maya,
that. I really like that. Yeah. I really like that.
I'm super deep.
I actually remember, you know, when you were saying this, I just remembered, it's crazy, like, one of my superpowers is, like, photographic memory, right?
Wish I had that in high school.
I literally just remembered a post that you did, like, 3-4 years ago, I'm not kidding you.
With that
one? Yeah, no, you said, something completely different, but I thought it was just, like, really deep, and I want to ask you about it. I remember you did a post, and you said something about, like, when you look good, you feel good, and when you feel good,
you do good.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, do you actually feel like that?
Yes. Your inner reality reflects your outside world.
Yeah.
When people say that, I'm like, okay, shut up. Like, you're doing the most.
Yeah.
It's just as heck. But it's true. When you see the world through the lens of lack or hurt or, like, things just not going your way, that's a belief system, and you'll find that affirmation of that in everything you do.
Yeah.
When a way for me to therapize myself is to control some aspects of my physical appearance, which is why I love fashion and style. So, and it's a form of self-care for me. I take care of my skin, take care of my hair. My clothes are always on point for me. And I feel more confident. I feel much more lighter. I feel more authentic. I feel more in my body. And when I feel aligned and present, then I'm less of a dick.
Right.
Excuse my French.
Right.
It's the lockdown. I've just been dropping F-bombs and S-bombs all over the place. And when you feel that way, you are just kinder. And when you are kind, it does go a long way. Being kind or being easy to work with or just not being a diva, that's why I was able to pull Drumba off. Like, everything adds up over time. I'm not saying I'm a saint, but, like, I know that I'm not one of the worst people ever. I know I'm somebody actually, that time when I doubt, like, my goodness, and I don't want to be good in a performative way, I want to be real. People always remind me that, like, yo, like, you're really kind. Out of the blood, like, thanks, man. I was doubting myself for a second, but, you know, you're right. So, yeah, you look good, you feel good, you feel good, you do good. And when you are good, your world's good. And when your world's good, then, shoot.
Thanks, Daniela, for sharing that. Now I'm just going to wrap it up because one of the things we do on the Switch On podcast is to share productivity tips, right? Okay. So I just wanted you to share two productivity tips that work for you. So, like, just how do you get yourself productive? Like, when you feel unproductive?
Dear, I don't, honestly, I procrastinate so much. Like, I'm the worst person to ask for productivity. But the thing is,
but what works for you though? So like, when you procrastinate and you feel like
what
that, like,
what works for me is fear of just like putting out trash content or like of having my name attached to anything that's subpar, mediocre. Mm. And so when I'm procrastinating, I'm just like, you know what? It's in over 7 minutes. Just do it.
Mm.
So, it's structured now because I've been waking up early on Monday, Wednesday, Friday to work out and stuff like that.
Mm.
It gives me more ginger to just get all my calls and emails out of the way in the morning, so I have the entire day to rest.
Right.
So my productivity tips, I guess, would be stop procrastinating, or even if you are procrastinating, make sure that you just bite the bullet and just sit down and do something once in a while.
Mm.
And my own driving force is like fear of just being a hot mess. It's just like very off-brand for me, and I don't want to ever be.
He said it's very off-brand.
That is like trash. So like, I just do good work. On time.
Those are great hacks. Like, it's when we think about productivity, we only think about it from the angle of like go go go, but it's not so much that. It's also just finding like
synchronicity. Productive. Like, I have to make people like you in my life. I call you guys rise and grind, Twitter. Yeah, I'm not about to rise and grind.
He says rise like right.
Like, I'm not I'm sleep till 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. and whatever happens, Twitter. Yeah. You know, and then you know if I work about it, then cool.
But you get work done, and that's the important thing. It's about how. It's about getting work done at your own pace, in your own way. Like, it's not even with the timing thing, right? Like, you know, when people say, hey, you know, wake up at 5 a.m., it's not, you don't have to wake up at 5 a.m. Yeah, it's up to you. Right? Right? It's different for different people. So, anyway, Daniela, it was great having you on the show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to see all the great work that's going to come out. Yeah, more global, drums and
global domination.
Yes,
I'm saying Adora right now. I'm gonna win so many awards.
Yep,
and I'm gonna make so much money.
Yep.
I'm gonna have so many charities. I'm gonna be an awesome person.
I love it,
Adora, and I'm manifesting it.
So I love it. Live your best life. Remember, that's like one of your mantras as well. I know.
Lola,
Yep, live your best life.